I'm assuming that you're 5 and you're now building something really nice with your Legos.
Yes.
So imagine that with GProfiler, it will find you the best way to build the most nice building with less work from your end.
Welcome to the Open at Intel podcast, where we're all about open source, from software to security to innovation and beyond. I'm your host, Catherine Druckmann, an open source evangelist at Intel, bringing you leading-edge, free-ranging conversations from some of the best minds in the open source community. Let's get into it.
While at KubeCon in Paris, I spoke with Roman Yegorov, Director of Solution Engineering at Granulate, now Intel Granulate. We discussed their open source GProfiler, Granulate's observability solutions, and even Roman's background in technical training. There's good stuff in here. Hey, Roman, thank you for joining me in my little podcast fishbowl here at KubeCon. I feel like I have to clarify that we're kind of like cousins here, right? Because you're over in the other Intel booth, because you are now an Intel company. So why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do and what you're doing here at KubeCon?
Sure thing. First of all, thanks for having me here, Catherine. My name is Roman. I'm a director of solution engineering at Granulate, which is now Intel Granulate.
Right.
We were acquired by Intel almost 3 years ago, and now we're part of the Intel software strategy, which basically means that Intel want to get monetized from software.
Wow. Well, of course, don't we all?
That's
right. Who
doesn't
love making a little money?
That's true. And part of the strategy is to make sure that Intel have all the buzzwords in terms of software, either AI, performance, ML, and whatever you're just thinking about. Intel was acquiring startups from Israel, from the US, and from Europe to make sure that they have enough brands and enough...
A portfolio, if you will.
Yes. That's the word that I was looking for. Enough portfolio to monetize software as part of the strategy.
So where do you fit in?
So Granulate fits in as a performance improvement company.
Okay.
As our bread and butter is to improve application performance, we're doing it cross-platform, both on regular VMs, through Kubernetes, and big data application. Also, we started to dive in into Databricks and other managed solutions for big data. And we're actually doing really, really well, though.
Well, that's very cool. So tell me your open source story, right? We're here at KubeCon, and you're here connecting with the open source cloud native community. Tell me about the community around your software. I do understand you have an open source software that's kind of underlying a lot of your technology. Tell me about that a little bit.
That's true. So part of... what was used as our open source soft or application, it's called a GProfiler.
Mm-hmm.
It's an open source profiler which can help customer to understand how their code is running and how many resources is utilizing, and to give some insights on how good the code is performing in terms of performance, in terms of traces, in terms of how the code is compiled. And they can get all those insights really easy and deploy it as part of their CI/CD pipe and make sure that any of the containers or the application that the developer are writing is actually compiled in the best performance and having the best application. So it was started as an open source initiative inside Granulate. Just had a team of 5 persons who were actually contributing to it.
Okay.
And saving it on GitHub and making sure that it's publicly available. But it was not that many of success. Not many companies use it as their preferred profiled application, since other observability companies such as Datadog or One Relic have it as part of their agent. So companies are really afraid to do profiling because it's very inversive and very hard to understand. But when you understand the core and when you understand how profiling can help your developers write a better code, it sounds better to most of the companies.
So tell me, okay, so you have an open source project out there on GitHub, but you say it's not gotten a lot of adoption yet? Or, I mean, do you hope to see it grow and get contributors from the outside world?
We already see contributors from around the world.
Oh, fantastic.
Due to the fact that it was now part of Intel open source community. We see more stars on GitHub. We see more PRs opened. Intel Software was allocated 2 teams in Estonia and Finland to make sure that they maintain the code and doing more enhancement to this performance application. And it's very, very nice and very, very good to see that people are starting.
Well, that is very exciting.
To use it.
And, yeah. And
many big companies are adopting that and writing engineering blogs on Medium and other websites which are for blogs.
Well, that's very exciting. When you create a thing, right, you create a new thing, it's because you identified a problem that you want to solve, and you feel like you've solved the problem, and you made this thing, and you're very excited about it, but then you throw it out into the world. And I think no matter how confident you are about how great your code is, it's always a bit of a process, right, to see how the community reacts and see what the uptake is like and see if people are interested in using it, contributing to it, and building a community around it. I wondered what your plans are, maybe for the next year. Like, let's think from today until the next KubeCon in Europe. What do you hope to happen with the project?
More contribution, of course, and more education regarding how profiling can help developers write a better code. Because eventually, when you write a better code, your code is utilizing better resources, and then you use less resources,
right,
which is good for the environment.
Exactly,
and which is good for the CO2 consumption that we're having in our days. And I don't know if you know, but in Europe, in those days, they have energy cap, which basically, once they exceed the threshold, they need to pay an additional money for the government or
it's
any fines
very significant.
For that.
Yeah. That's a great point that I think maybe those of us in the U.S. Could use a reminder on. So let's say you build this community. Like, I wonder what your participation is like. How do you interact with the rest of the cloud native landscape?
I mean, we contribute to the Kubernetes projects.
Oh, that's fantastic. Important.
And
Kubernetes really kind of runs the world now, right? It's mission critical for everybody, including you, right?
You can say so. So Granulator basically have three main products, which are combined on one single agent. Our bread and butter is our unique AI technology, which helps companies to improve their performance application. When I'm talking about improving performance application, I'm mainly talking about lower CPU utilization, higher throughput, and lower latency, which usually will lead the customer to use less instances or less nodes. For example, you have a Kubernetes application, an HTTP server, which is running on 100 pods. Each pods are utilizing on average on 60% of CPU while having 1,000 of requests. After Granulate, you will be able to do the same requests, but with 80 pods. So I already saved you 20 pods.
So does Granulate handle the observability part and the optimization part? Does it have an opinion about how to solve your problems once you've figured them out?
So Granulate is coming at the end of the journey of cost optimization. If you're looking on the cost optimization journey, you first observe things.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what are you spending on, how many instances you have, like you're understanding the problem. Then you going and trying to find all the fruits that are really easy to get.
Sure, low-hanging.
All hanging fruits, yeah. Like we're using spots, you're using saving plans with your cloud provider or anything that can discount you without any third-party solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Then the third part is you actually doing right-sizing. You trying to fit your application to the best instance type, both in price and both in performance. And then the last slide of the cost reduction journey is actually to utilize Granulate.
Okay.
Because you already have the best instances. You already have the best price from your cloud provider. But still you're paying 2 to 3 million annually and you want to have some savings. So then you introduce to Granulate, and with our improved performance, the cost is going down by 15 to 20%.
Okay, I understand. So tell me, how did you get into software in the first place?
So it's very funny. I was not working on soft. All my life I was working on networking and communication jobs and roles. It started from my first job. I worked for a company which called ECI. Now it's Ribbon. I was a technical instructor.
Really?
I was flying around the world, building networks for customers. I was flying around 60 countries for the 3 years that I worked there.
It's tiring.
pretty much. From Philippines to Thailand, through Kenya and Cote d'Ivoire, countries in the US, Mexico, you just name it.
Wow, that sounds like fun. And then so how did you make the change from networks to software?
COVID started. Then everything started to be remoted.
Well, yes.
And no flights anymore. Everyone understand that networking is good, but we need something else. So I went to Cato Networks, which is doing SASE. And I worked there for 2.5 years. I done both enablement job and actually write some code and did some solution engineering work to make sure that we acquired more customers. Because I'm more a person guy. I prefer to speak to persons than to speak to the computer.
Okay, that's fair.
Yet I'm very technologic person. I love technology. I admire new technologies. I love to solve problems to my customers. So that's how I came to Granulate.
I think being a technical instructor is such a really good foundational skill to have when you're entering the technology field. I actually know quite a few people who got their start as a trainer. They trained, you know, in various technologies and have gone on to do great things because you get such a you build an important skill set, right? Which is just teaching people about technology. And that's not a simple task, right? You have to be able to break it down for people and have a deeper understanding of it than somebody just working with it, right? How did you approach that? I actually find that very interesting.
It is very interesting. Like, you first need to understand that the person that you are aiming to teach or to instruct, he probably does not have any clue regarding the technology or about the hardware or software that you will teach him. Yet, he's there on the class, which means that after 5 days, you need to do some work, some basic work or some advanced work, depending on the level of the customer that you are meeting. And I'm looking at it as an escape room.
Okay.
You're coming
That's
to
funny.
The room, and you have a lot of riddles, which is the persons, and you need to combine them together to solve the problem.
I've been in an escape room once.
So basically you are building a connection between people and you're bonding with them to get them the best experience they can and teach them or get them the experience of learning that they will be able to do their job on the best way.
So from your perspective as a trainer, you obviously for the most part are teaching you something fairly similar over and over again. But
True.
But you're faced with every so often having to kind of dive into a new technology, a new feature, something that's completely new to you. I mean, it's building on your foundational knowledge, but it's a new thing. How do you approach diving in and learning that thing to a great enough extent that you can then teach it to others?
So first of all, I'm meeting the person who read the feature or define the feature to understand what is it solving. Because when I understand the problem and understand how the feature is helping solve any kind of problem, then I can imagine myself as 5 years old and to explain to myself as I'm 5 years old.
That's a good one. Okay.
And then it's very easy to myself to build a perspective that if a 5 years old can understand the problem and how the feature is solving that, so I can explain it to any person, from the most non-technical person to the most advanced technical person.
Okay. That makes sense to me. How do you keep, when you're giving, let's say you've traveled to somewhere across the world and you're giving a training on a product or whatever it is, how do you incorporate fun into the presentation in order to keep people engaged?
That's the most important thing, right?
Yeah.
Because usually after the lunch, you see the person are...
Right, yeah, you start
going,
to kind of start fade
to be
a little bit.
And then be fadey. So I'm changing the voice and I'm coming closer to the audience. And regarding the engagement with the audience, I'm usually bring snacks from my home country and I doing some competition inside the training, because part of the training is on-job training. So like you have a lot of hands-on staff. So we're doing competition between the attendees of the training to just make sure that they have some competition and they will have some prize. So, you know, I'm trying to get it a bit more fun, you know, not regular study.
Oh, I love it. I like to bring fun into things. I think that the kind of work that we do in technology is fun. It's fun in and of itself. It's fun to solve the problems. It's fun to unpack the problems and then build a solution. It's like Legos, right? When we were kids, And it's like we're all adults here playing Legos, and it's fantastic. So I think it's really important to remind people and keep them plugged in by keeping things very fun and light and make sure people enjoy their jobs, enjoy their work, enjoy solving all these complicated problems. Because again, the entire world runs on the technology that we're all working on, right? To some degree, we're all kind of touching it, and we can solve problems like environmental problems, as you mentioned. You know, it's better for all of us. So keeping it fun, I think, is really important. So since we've kind of set the stage for this kind of training, I wondered if you could pretend I know nothing at all about GProfiler. I know we talked about it already a little bit, but how would you convince me to take it to pull it down from GitHub and play with it and see what kind of problems it could solve for me? Where do I start? Assume I'm five.
So assuming that you're five and you're now building something really nice with your Legos.
Yes.
And you have different blocks of Legos. And usually as a kid, you started with the biggest block, and then on the biggest block, you are just pushing the smaller, and then smaller, and then you have nice building of Legos. So imagine that with GProfiler, it will find you the best stack or the best way to build the most nice building with less work from your end.
Fewer wasted pieces?
A few wasted pieces, for example.
I don't know what that means actually in Lego terms, but I kind of liked it.
And you will be able to imagine those and to simulate those on the way. For example, you will start and you will combine a few blocks, and then someone will say to you, no, this block is actually will fit you in the next. So in the same concept, the GProfiler is helping customer to understand which stack of application or which function is best fitted your code and which are not, which are consuming more resources and which are not, which are affecting the threads and which are not. And those kind of things can actually improve the performance of the code, which later on can be leveraged to usage of fewer instances, fewer resources. If you're talking about Kubernetes less pods, it can help to get a better testing for the developers and understand that small change of the code can get a high impact on the resources that are actually utilized or provisioned.
Oh, very cool. So then when you put on the granulate secret sauce, if you will, on top of all of that, then what can I do with my Legos?
So imagine that with granulate, your Legos will be stacked again. And then from regular building, you will have Burj Khalifa.
Okay, that's a good sales pitch. That's kind of funny. I know we're all resistant to sales pitches over here, but that's a good one.
Yeah.
I like it.
So, and of course, you will not need to do anything. You will just get your Lego stack inside some magic sauce. And second after that, or a few minutes after that, you will have Burj Khalifa.
So this has been really fun. Is there anything that you wish that I had asked you that you wanted to talk about that we didn't get to?
I just want to make sure that person who hears this podcast understood that Granulate is a holistic solution.
Hmm.
We can help either with VMs, Kubernetes, or any big data solution. And as you mentioned, we are more than happy that anyone who hears this podcast and are open to try the GProfiler will try it, will contribute to that, because we love to be part of the community. And we think that the community of Intel software can be grow and actually do really great things together.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I'll let you get back to
my booth duty.
Well, your booth duty. I was going to say to exploring KubeCon, but do the booth duty too. Well, thank you so much.
That's great. Thank you for having me, Katherine.
You've been listening to Open at Intel. Be sure to check out more from the Open at Intel podcast at open.intel.com/podcast and at Open at Intel on Twitter. We hope you join us again next time to geek out about open source.